Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. A great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading and preaching of his holy word today. Let's ask God's blessing on the preached word today. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for our Lord Jesus Christ, for all his mighty miracles of healing and deliverance, for all his tender compassion and gracious goodness. Teach us more about him today as we learn of him in your word. Show us the Lord Jesus. Show us his glory. We pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
She was weak. She was tired. She was very ill. She was poverty stricken, and she was lonely. But she was determined. And she had a spark of hope within her. She'd heard of Jesus of Nazareth. She heard how he had healed many sick people. So she had to get to him. She had to touch him herself. If it was the last thing she did in life, she had to get to Jesus. Now on this day, she had found him. She thoughts like these, "If I can just get close to him, will the crowd let me through? Will they push me out of the way? I've got to reach him. I must do this." And so she was thinking thoughts like these, I'm sure. And Jesus did not see her approach. There were people of all ages, all sizes, all around him. His disciples were all around him also. And he was looking in this direction, and all of a sudden, he knew someone had touched him. Many people were touching him, so many people that he may have had a hard time even keeping his balance. But someone touched the fringe, the edge of his garment, and it was not like all the other touches that were coming against him. When he felt that touch, he felt power leave his body and flow in to someone. Jesus knew someone had touched him with faith. He knew someone in the crowd had touched him with living faith, with strong faith, with desperate faith, with believing faith. So he wheeled around. Who touched me? Well, this is the historical event that we're going to be thinking about today. Oh, it was a glorious day for this woman. It was a day of liberation. It was a day that ended her suffering. The day of release. Release from 12 long years of captivity to a debilitating illness. She'd had a serious blood discharge for 12 years. It was not just her monthly cycle, but it was a continuous flow that would not stop. And you know, to lose blood is to lose the vitality of life that keeps us going. So she was in a serious condition. She was continually weak and drained. And then to make matters worse, according to the law of Moses, she was considered unclean because of the flow of blood. Book of Leviticus, which we read earlier, talks about the fact that in chapter 15, that if a woman, during her monthly period, she's considered to be unclean. Anybody who touches her is unclean. They have to change their clothes and wash. And so this woman was continually unclean. The people who knew her, they knew about her illness, her own family, her husband, her children, her neighbors, her friends, they all stayed away from her. They didn't want to touch her. They didn't want her touching them. It's like she had leprosy. She had a life of social isolation from people. Well, how shall we describe this poor woman? I want to use the word depleted to describe her. She was a depleted woman. What do I mean by depleted? Well, it means something has totally run out. It's empty. For example, we're experiencing this hot, dry weather here in North Texas, and if it keeps up, the lakes and the ponds are going to be depleted of water. The water's going to evaporate. This happened back in 2011, I think it was. I remember seeing a picture of a big, gigantic lake that was completely dry back then. Well, the water will evaporate. The fish may begin to die. Cities may have trouble getting water. The depleted reservoirs. Well, this woman was depleted. She was lacking in several areas of her life. First of all, she was depleted of her health. The text says in verse 26, she had suffered much under many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So she'd gone to many doctors. They tried every cure they could think of, but nothing worked. There was always a spark of hope when a new treatment was administered, but it never worked. The doctors were baffled. They'd never seen such a hard case. So all of her medical help was depleted. One commentator said that the description of the medical profession, she suffered much under physicians, was not intended to run down the medical profession, but to show in contrast how the power of Jesus transcends human limitation. Well, she was completed with medical help. She was depleted of her health. She was depleted of her money. Text says she spent all she had. All her savings were gone. She may well have been selling things in her house just so she could pay one more physician, try one more time. And so her funds were exhausted. She was poverty stricken, and she was still a very ill woman. She may have even had trouble buying enough food to stay alive, to keep up what strength she had left. And then lastly, she was depleted of social contacts. Nobody would touch her. Nobody would shake her hand or kiss her or hug her. She was like those little infants that are never held by their parents. They're starved for physical affection. So she was starved for human contact. She was a totally depleted woman. But she had one thing going for her. We read in verse 27 and 28, she had heard reports about Jesus. And that made all the difference. And so she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. You see, she was not only a depleted woman, but she was a believing woman. She heard about this prophet named Jesus from northern Galilee. She heard of his healing power. She heard how people who had suffered from all kinds of diseases and afflictions and deformities were cured, and usually cured instantaneously. She heard of his power to cast out demons and restore people to their right minds, at peace, free from the torment of evil spirits. Most likely, I believe she was a woman of faith. She most likely knew and believed the Old Testament scriptures. She'd read about Yahweh's healing power. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. And she read that scripture. She had hope. And then she may well have read over in Isaiah 53 about the coming suffering servant. It says, verse 6, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement, the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. And then she read further on in Isaiah chapter 61. About the Messiah. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus read this text in the home synagogue in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. This woman was poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Her heart was broken. To proclaim liberty to the captive. She was in captivity to a terrible illness, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Maybe, she thought, maybe this Jesus of Nazareth is the promised anointed one, the Messiah. Some said he was, and some said he wasn't. To her, it sounded like he was the Messiah. So she went to find him. We don't know how far away she lived, or how long she had to travel, or what difficulties she may have had in getting there. But she heard he was in a certain area, and she went there. She saw a crowd up ahead. People were milling around, hundreds of people. They were coming from every direction. Some were walking on canes. Some were being carried. Some were coughing. She saw his disciples surrounding him, trying to help him, trying to protect him from the pushing, shoving crowds. She heard his voice speaking and teaching. And hope rose up in her mind and heart. But how will I ever get through to Jesus? She asked herself. She was not only a depleted woman, but she was a believing woman. She believed the reports about Jesus. She did not doubt. If I can just get to him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know he will heal me, she was thinking. And so this gave her hope and strength to push forward. She was totally depleted, but she was believing. And she got up close to Jesus. And she intentionally came behind him, not in front of him. She didn't want him to see her. She tried to be as inconspicuous, as hidden as possible. She was considered unclean. So she just wanted to touch the edge of his robe. That'll be enough. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, he'll heal me. Now, according to Mr. Linsky, famous Lutheran commentator, he was wearing what's called a shimla, a large square cloth used as an outer robe and had tassels at the four corners, according to Deuteronomy 22:12. And two of the corners of the shimla were thrown back over the shoulder so that two of the tassels hung down. One of these, says Mr. Linsky, is what the woman touched. Well, she was a believing woman. And who she met with that day was a mighty healer. With the last ounce of strength she had, she reached out and touched the fringe of his garment, or maybe one of those tassels, and something happened. It wasn't what happened with the physicians. Nothing happened with them, but here it says, immediately the flow of blood dried up. Verse 29, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about and said, "Who touched my garments?" His disciples said, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he looked around to see who had done it. Somebody said, the same power that he had used to calm the storm on the Sea of Galilee and to restore the raving maniac to sanity had touched this woman. The same power of the living God manifested by the Spirit in the Son of God. And so it happened. What all the doctors could not do, Jesus did in an instant. As soon as she touched the garment, she felt the flow of blood stop and dry up. She felt healing power surge through her body. She knew she was healed. Jesus also knew it. Though many were pressing against him, he knew someone had touched him with believing faith, and healing had gone out of his body. St. Augustine said, "Flesh presses, faith touches." So many were just pressing against him, but this woman had faith that touched. So Jesus turned around and asked, "Who touched him?" His disciples said, "What do you mean, Jesus? There's scores of people crowding around you and touching you." So they were implying that he asked a ridiculous question. Yet Jesus kept looking. He kept looking into the crowd. His eyes scanned the crowd behind him. And what he saw was a cured woman. She had been depleted, but she was believing. And she had met with a mighty healer. She came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases." Why was she so afraid? Why was she trembling? Well, several reasons. Perhaps she was a woman, and they were not considered quite on an equal plane with men. Maybe it's because she had been unclean in the eyes of the law. Maybe it's because she had been so bold as to push her way through the crowd, and everything had happened so fast and powerfully that she didn't know what to do. She was scared. She was afraid. She didn't want to be exposed to the crowd. Jesus calls her daughter. Probably not because he was so much older than her, but because as the Creator God of the universe, he was the direct cause of her life and existence. He says, "Your faith has made you well." It was not his garment that made her well, it was her faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it is the gift of God." God had given her the gift of faith to believe that Jesus would heal her. See, our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. Her faith was in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Wasn't his garment, but her faith in him, he himself. He had granted her faith to believe that she would be healed from her affliction. He tells her to go in peace. She needed that. She'd been in continual distress. She needed not only physical healing, she needed mental, spiritual healing. Finally, she was at peace. She would no longer be considered unclean by everybody that she knew. Her life that had been disrupted for 12 years was suddenly restored. Someone has said that the peace that Jesus was talking about is a status of wholeness and well-being because of a right relationship with God. It's shalom, peace of mind and body. One of the old saints of old, John Gill, English Baptist, back in the early 1700s, evaluates this situation like this. He says, Jesus turned himself towards the woman behind him, though the press, the crowd was so large about him, and asked who touched his clothes. Not for his own sake. He knew very well who had done it, but that the cure might be made known to others. Not for the sake of showing off popular applause, but for the manifestation of his glory, and for the glory of God, and for the strengthening of the faith of Jairus, who was with him, who had asked that Jesus come and heal his daughter. And we'll be looking at that next week. He turned himself to this woman that he might have the opportunity of commending her for her faith, to confirm, to verify that the cure had been accomplished, and then to dismiss her with the utmost pleasure and joy, the peace of God. The peace of God encompassed her. Her body was healed. Her mind and soul and spirit were at rest. She was a blessed woman. She was a depleted woman when we first meet her, but she was also a believing woman, and she met the mighty healer, and she became a cured woman. So, we all have great needs in our lives, sometimes more than others. But whatever our need is, we should come to Jesus, believe that he will meet that need. Christ comes to the aid of those who reach out to him and believe in faith. What did the woman do? She believed the reports, the testimonies of Christ's healing power. So we must believe also, we must believe the word of God. What it tells us about many things. We must have faith. Her faith was very strong. She was absolutely convinced that if she touched his garment, she'd be healed. But what did she do? She took action. She went and found Jesus. We need to take action sometimes too. Yes, we need to pray. If we're sick, we need to pray. We need to ask people to pray for us. We need to call for the elders of the church and ask them to anoint us with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. We must fight through the obstacles that would try to prevent us from having faith or approaching God. We must grab hold of the Lord in prayer and in faith. In the early days of the church, there was a man who was healed by Peter and John in the early chapters of the book of Acts, and they were called on account for this healing by the Jewish authorities. And they said, this man, we didn't heal this man. It was by faith in the name of Jesus. Jesus healed the man. We didn't heal him. Jesus healed the man. Jesus had risen. He was ascended. He poured out his spirit. But he was still active in the healing ministry as he had been with the woman on that day. The New Testament indicates that physical healing, I believe, is to be for the entire Messianic age. God heals diseases. He doesn't always heal. You remember Paul, he had an affliction, probably an eye infection of some kind. And God didn't see fit to heal him, but gave him grace to endure the trial. But when we have needs in our lives, whether they're fit for physical healing or whatever they may be, we need to be like this woman. We need to go to Jesus. We need to reach out to him in faith. Grab a hold of him with faith, with prayer, and ask for his help. When you're depleted, gird up the loins of believing faith. Read the Word of God. Ask people to pray for you. Go to Jesus. Receive his peace and provision. Pray that he will graciously provide. And we will pray with you for those answers to prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the example of this woman. You had great mercy on her, Lord. Great deliverance. We just rejoice. One day we'll meet her in heaven and we can rehearse this great event that happened to her life. And Lord, it gives us hope that you will meet the needs of our lives as you met her needs. Lord, do that, we ask you. Meet the various needs of those of us gathered today by your merciful grace and kind compassion. We present ourselves before you. We present those that we care about before you and ask you, Lord, to come and meet these needs. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray.
Amen.